This is the Brooklyn Culture Gen. I'm your host, Dan Kinch. Tonight, we'll be speaking to Marnie Halassa in just a moment. Thanks for joining us. Hold on. So, Marnie, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. Welcome back. So let me read a quick bio of you so that you don't have to brag about yourself.
Okay.
Marnie Halassa, activist, dancer, figure skater, and performance artist. She has been recently profiled in the New York Times. She has degrees in law and journalism, but has gone forward with the concept of attracting media attention to demonstrations. Her goal is to become a professional activist, an idea that she expresses on her website, Revolution is Sexy. What have I gotten wrong?
Oh, it's all right. That's very good.
Okay, so we were talking. Well, first of all, we can't really begin this. As I said, you're an activist, and we really can't begin this without talking about some of the demonstrations I've seen you at recently, including the anti-BP demonstration about 2 weeks ago, right?
That's right. That's right. So, I was the angry mermaid for climate justice. In my mermaid costume, in the pouring rain, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was a lovely day outside to be demonstrating.
Yes, it was, at 8 o'clock in the morning at the BP station, yes.
So, since that, however, demonstrations have become a little less fun with the murder of Freddie Gray weighing on all of us. Now, have you taken part in the demos that have been going on around that?
Actually, I haven't, but actually, last night there was one demonstration that was right outside my apartment on 34th Street. So actually, I ran downstairs. I, took a bunch of pictures, and people were really, enthusiastic, excited about it. I think also there's a lot of young people and a lot of young white people involved. So that was nice to see.
And this is, there are over 100 arrests, which was rather surprising to me.
Right. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I was reading something on Facebook, but, kind of protesters' First Amendment to, express themselves and the police, the police were, ready to arrest anybody that wasn't on the sidewalk. And I think a lot of protesters took the tack that, listen, justice isn't pretty. We're going to march in the streets. And, for my opinion, that kind of outrage where it shuts traffic down, this kind of huge, spectacular event that makes the city stop. In terms of what works as a protest, I mean, that works. Of course, I don't think, people should loot or, people should, get involved in that sort of thing. But, sometimes things happen, and, if you really want to make a statement, kind of marching in the street and stopping traffic and, making a big stink, does work.
So let's get into another aspect of this, because this is the part that I wanted to talk to you about. One of the issues with many of the people I've talked to in the protest movement, whether it was Occupy Wall Street, whether it was the Plowshares movement, Pax Christi, one of the things that they've all shared as a lament is just how to get away from being ignored. And you seem to know how to draw a crowd. And in fact, I think you're teaching something on this soon. Is that not correct?
I am. Yeah, at the Left Forum, I'm actually having a panel called You Gotta Get a Gimmick, How to Stage an Effective Media-Worthy Protest and Get Attention for Your Cause. because what I really want to do is I want to teach other activists, like, how do you get media attention? Because what I find is that if I don't get any media attention, I mean, yes, I can go to a protest and I can take pictures and I have something to tweet and I have something to Facebook or blog, and that's all well and good. But I think what's really effective is to kick these social issues into the mainstream media. And if you can do that, then you can really engage the public. And if the public keeps on seeing this issue over and over again, they get involved, they get engaged, and then ultimately they want to see a resolution. So that's where I'm headed. I'm headed mainstream media, and you know, I tried to come up with kind of a primer on what I do. Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, one of the things that occurred to me when I was when we were talking about this before is I used to be part of, or I had friends in the ACT UP Media campaign group, and one of the things that they very carefully did was coordinate whatever protest action they did with, in fact, the press release. And so, you know, if the protest went off at 12:02 and the arrest started at 12:10, by 12:30 everybody had a press release from ACT UP Media campaign explaining who was there and what the statements were and so forth. And I always had sort of mixed emotions about that, in terms of, on the one hand, you would expect media to pick up on that regardless, but on the other hand, you know, if you're not handing people this information, but it almost felt like self-promotion at times. How do you walk that line?
I mean, I think you have to hand people the information. I think you have to, I mean, in an ideal world, you know, people would actually be at the protest and be able to see what is going on and formulate their own opinions about what's going on. But I think you really have to hand people the information. I mean, what I kind of do, I was trying to figure out what I do. And what was helpful is I used to be a reporter, but I'm kind of my own PR machine. So what I think is the really important is if you can email or tweet reporters before the protest and tell them this is going on. And then also pictures always help. If you have kind of an interesting picture, I think that gets people's attention. But, you know, I think if you can be your own PR machine, you know, get the message out through social media, through email, calling, let's say I call New York One and I, you know, talk to the assignment desk. I make a lot of phone calls, but I let people know what is going on. So that's one thing. But I think the second thing is also if you can come up with something really, really compelling. You know, I'm also part of the alternative banking group. Well, we had a whistleblower from HSBC, the bank HSBC, come to us and tell us some really, really interesting information. Well, I took that. I ferreted it out to some reporters, and it was such a sexy story that they couldn't ignore it. So then we had a protest in support of him, and then the reporters came to that protest. So, you know, a lot of this is a lot of legwork. But I think if you can sort of be your own PR machine, if you can come up with something really, really compelling that a reporter can't ignore it, I think they will start to come.
Now, you're talking about the HSBC, and I'm trying to think of which particular scandal this would be connected to.
Oh, this was the scandal. I mean, HSBC in 2012 paid a $1.9 billion fine for laundering money for the drug cartel and groups associated with terrorism. And they paid this fine. It's on YouTube. You know, they said, okay, I'm really, really sorry. Our internal controls didn't work. Oh, my God. So then this whistleblower, his name is Everett Stern, he said, okay, they paid this fine, and actually they're continuing to launder money. They're continuing to do this. So it was hard for him because he tried to get some mainstream media attention, and they wouldn't really touch it. So he came to our group, and we staged a protest. You know, I had reporters from Associated Press, from Reuters, from Dow Jones, they came. But it was a really interesting story that I think that it was too good of a story for them to pass up. So that's like a very ideal example. I mean, often sometimes I staged also a protest in Ridgewood, New Jersey, and also had two of the New Jersey papers come and cover the protest. But again, that's legwork, that's a media advisory, that's, you know, trying to calling, maybe talking to the managing editor. But this is all sort of the training I had when I was a reporter as well. So.
But now, as a former reporter, does it ever bother you that you have to be the one to point this out?
Actually, no, it doesn't. You know, it doesn't bother me at all because I feel like if I don't do it, they're not going to come. They are not going to come. And, you know what? In an ideal world, it would be great if people would sit up and notice, but they're not going to notice unless I knock on their door. So I have no problem with that.
Yeah. Just a personal aside, I remember when I saw how all of this worked when I was working on behalf of people with AIDS, where I had been at a fairly large demonstration, several hundred people in the stock market area, and I got home, and what you do in that kind of demonstration is you go to wherever their office is, and somebody orders pizza, and you all watch all the news feed and see if you're on. And I was astonished. We didn't make the news feed, but a story fed to the media by Aldamato did, which had 10 demonstrators in front of Rockefeller Center over, I don't even remember what the issue was. It was pretty obscure. Does
right.
this feed into the world's cynicism, I wonder? I mean, do you get cynical about it all?
I mean, I just feel that a lot of really amazing issues are just not covered, and I feel like, you know what, I'm going to contact everybody, I'm going to tweet it out, I'm going to craft a, you know, beautifully written press release so people, like, sit up and notice, and I mean, I sort of accept that this is how the world is, and nobody's going to knock on my door unless I knock on their door first. And then what I'm finding now is because I've cultivated these relationships, you know, whenever I contact somebody, they'll like maybe in a couple of weeks, they'll contact me back and be like, oh, is anything going on? Or, well, you know, are you doing anything interesting? So I get that as well. But that's, I think, because the relationship has been established.
Okay. Just a quick note to our listeners. We were talking to Marnie Halassa from her website, Revolution is Sexy. Is that still up, by the way? I didn't even look.
It is. And it's a little bit of a work in progress. It needs some, you know, needs a little updating, but it's still there.
Okay. Now, I realize you're going to give all of these tips to a group at Left Forum. Give us... Let's say someone in Brooklyn is fighting for community gardens and trying to get some media, any media, to cover them. I know of a friend who took part in an action to seed bomb all of the empty lots in Brooklyn in March and April, and boy, was it cold. But my point is, how would you go about doing that? Do you actually craft the press release, or is it something else? I mean, you create a media event by yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I create a media event, but also what I try to do, if let's say if somebody, you know, has a particular issue they're working on, I would tell that person to, if we do stage a protest, that you try to get as many people as possible, because one of the first questions the media asks is how many people are there. Like, that is the first question. You know, and often I get people who, you know, they do want to cover a protest. There's an instant conflict there. So it's already kind of an interesting idea. But if it's only going to be attended by you know, less than 10 people, they're not that interested. So if that person can get, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 people there, then you really have something. And then they're more likely to come out.
So, from a practical aspect, then, are you saying to activists, don't even try to get media if you don't have, let's say, 30 people behind you?
No. I still try anyways. Try. No, still do. Also, I mean, if they can kind of, like with the BP event, I don't think that particular protest that we were both at, I didn't see it get any media attention because I tried to look afterwards.
Right.
And it was, like, really raining. I mean, I remember I called up New York One. I told them to come. I tweeted it out. It was a kind of a bad weather day. That's one thing. But I think with something like that, it would have been great to have some kind of coordinated effort, since I think there were a lot of protests going on nationally. I mean, it would have been great if there was like a PR person that was coordinating everything. But I mean, you know, if people can tie it to an anniversary of something, like Citizens United, if you can tie it in with a big anniversary, the media already kind of is up on that. Like they seem to, oh, okay, this is like tomorrow's May Day. There's going to be protests in Union Square the whole day.
Tomorrow's May Day? I'm kidding.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to go out. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I work with another performance artist named Elliot Crown. And so he has this big evil money puppet head, and we're going to be aristocrats. And, you know, we're going to do something about, you know, kind of a satirical response on workers. So, you know, I mean, I think you always try, and whatever angle you can, you know, even when the reporter is there, go up to, if you see somebody, if you see a TV station, you see a reporter, go up to them and just say, hey, listen, I want to talk to you. This is what I have to say. Chances are they're going to listen.
Okay, so if you're talking to a community organizer, let's say some of the groups that have been active in stopping gentrification in Brooklyn, for instance, where should they start?
I mean, well, each, I think if you go to a group like that, I mean, they probably know the best places, the most well-traveled places where if they held a protest, you know, maybe they go in front of the developer who's developing, who is like, let's say the developer that does a ton of gentrification in Brooklyn. Maybe they go to the place of work and they protest there. Maybe they actually go to the developer's house, it's their residence, and protest there. There's a group called Hedge Clippers, and they protest against hedge funds. Well, they went to Paul Tudor Jones. He's a big hedge fund bigwig. They went to his home and protested outside of his home. Like, that's really, really effective. I just think things like there's a number of things you can do. And then also what I do, I kind of combine dance, skating, theater, props, sex appeal into these characters, and then I protest with this with a character, so it's not so hostile. Like, it's sort of funny and humorous, and it gets a lot of attention. You know, maybe you come up with gimmicks. You know, and for my next environmental protest, I have skating students. I manage a skating team. Well, I want to have my teenagers do sort of a dance performance. So, I mean, I think those sorts of mechanisms get attention. But protesting outside where somebody lives is, I think, great.
I understand that, but now, what do you think about people who would say that you're crossing a line there? I mean, what somebody does in their day job is one thing. The way they live their life is another. This was something that I know.
Well, I mean, it still can be peaceful. It's still a peaceful protest. I mean, I just think if the activists have to utilize what I think effective. I think if somebody was protesting outside my apartment, I would, you know, start to think twice about, you know, if I was developing and gentrifying things. I think you got to do whatever. You know, obviously you can't be violent. You shouldn't hurt anybody. But if you're peacefully protesting outside somebody's apartment or outside their place of work, I mean, you have every right to do that. I mean, I would cross that line. I would urge everybody to, as long as you're not breaking the law and you're relatively, you know, you're safe, cross that line.
Okay, what kind of troll traffic do you get?
that's a
question that occurs to me, because various activists I know are now sort of being stalked, if you will, by trolls, and some of it actually sounds kind of scary. Are you getting any of that kind of pushback?
I mean, I've heard of other activists experiencing that. I have not yet experienced that. It's interesting. My LinkedIn seems to get a lot of security professional security people that looked at my LinkedIn. You know, so I don't know. Maybe I'm getting that, but yeah, I mean, you don't want to, you know, yeah, I get it. I mean, you don't want to, you know, if you put yourself so out there, there is always that possibility.
And do you think that somebody getting that that kind of attention, a lot of it in the wrong way, do you think they're justified in walking away?
I'm sorry, explain the question again.
Let's say, for instance, my thinking goes back to people like Judy Berry, for instance, or Julia Butterfly, or the activists around the mountaintop removal in West Virginia, where literally people are finding, you know, bullets fired through their tires and things like that.
I mean, that is, of course, that's frightening.
And that's also not something you would advocate in the other direction either.
Right, right. I just look at hedge clippers. I mean, they went to, you know, I think if you, I mean, what they did is they bust teachers. I mean, they're against charter schools. So what they did is they had big buses of people, of teachers, and they went to, you know, Paul Tudor Jones' residence. I don't know if it was Greenwich, Connecticut, or where it was, but they went, I think it was in Greenwich. And, I mean, I think if you're in a large group, that maybe there's probably more safety there. But, I mean, what you're talking about, I mean, I haven't really experienced, and, you know, maybe if I did experience it, maybe I would be saying something different.
Right, understood.
But it is, it's scary. It is, it's really scary.
So what are your plans, besides the Left Forum, what are your plans coming going forward?
I mean, right now I'm kind of in talks, you know, I don't know if this is going to pan out. I mean, I hope it pans out, but there's a production company that I'm speaking with, and they're kind of interested in me possibly going around nationally and teaching others how to protest.
Okay.
Or where there's an existing protest that I come in and actually lend my expertise.
Okay.
And hopefully, you know, help that particular protest.
Okay. Marnie, we're almost out of time. Give us a website. Let us know how to get more information about you.
Okay, sure. Well, my website is Revolution is Sexy, www.revolutionissexy.com. And also, I'm part of a group called the Alternative Banking Group. And their website is www.altbanking.net, and we meet at Columbia University every Sunday at 3 p.m. And I'm here to, you know, assist everybody in how to effectively protest and get media attention.
Okay. Marnie Halassa, thank you very much. Have a great evening. Thanks for talking to us.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. Okay. Bye-bye.
You are listening to Brooklyn Culture Jam. This is Dan Kinch, your host. I want to once again thank everybody at my friends at WBCR. Thank you to Phil Rosenberg and Sex and Politics. We're going to end on Neil Young right now. Have a great weekend. See you next week. Searching for